Charity brings its own reward, says the proverb. Isn't there a sense of satisfaction for giving to a good cause? It is also, in a gospel sense, the best possible investment for our eternal future. That treasure of in heaven which Jesus spoke, when he invited people to sell what you have and give to the poor. I'm sure that when we look back on our life from our deathbed, we'll be happier to think of what we simply have freely given away during our lifetime rather than that which we stored up for a rainy day. St. Paul began the very first extensive charity collection for people in need in the history of the church. He proposed two main ideas to guide us in this. The first is, those who sow sparingly reap sparingly. And the second is, God loves a cheerful giver. There can be no doubt that a cheerful gift is more acceptable even among people at an everyday level. The hospitality shown to the famished prophet Elijah by the poor widow in Sidon was all the more precious in that it was given with loving respect and not a grudging duty. Here was a man of God, clearly in need of help. There was no need for a long, involved argument about how he had gotten into this position, or whether he could have drawn up a wiser plan for his future. There was no condemnation. She did what she could for him and was blessed in the process. This act is particularly noteworthy to me as she put her child in God's hands also. It wasn't just herself that she needed to consider, but the life of her son. There is a faithful giver. I wonder if I could be so faithful. Isn't it interesting that it was a poor widow at death's door whom God chose to give the prophet nourishment? God uses the fact that it was a widow and a foreigner who were chosen to show that God gives his gifts to whomever he pleases, not to those who think they have a right to them, like the scribes in the gospel reading. The scribes clearly thought they had a right to God's blessings, and in those days, possibly the widow's estate. Note Jesus' warnings about these scribes, who clearly thought they were entitled to God's gifts simply because of their public piety and knowledge of the law. Jesus is warning all of us in this passage, especially newly ordained deacons. Whether they are flowing robes or positions in the church, these are things that don't grant us the honor of a seat at the table. They are more indicative of a servant at the table. If we think otherwise, Jesus tells us they will receive a severe condemnation. But this analysis so far focuses on the externals of charity. It is important to give some thought as to why we give, or how we're able to give out of our weakness, our poverty, our fear of not having enough. We need to exercise the trust in God that he will provide for us. Last week, the Old Testament readings from Deuteronomy and the Gospel reading of Mark repeat the commandment, "You shall love your God with all your hearts." A pattern in repetition is used again today. Perhaps God is trying to tell us something. Perhaps the lesson of let go and let God is being hammered home. In the reading from 1 Kings, doesn't the widow remind you of times in our lives when we have had things taken from our hands and were blessed afterwards? Did you find, like I have, that we really did not need the thing we were hanging on to? Perhaps it was some sin or some attitude that we couldn't let go of right then. In a slightly different way, in the gospel reading, we are being asked to give voluntarily, but to give until it hurts. To let go of our treasures, no matter how meager or important they are to us. This repetition is used to make a point. The story of the widow's mite is a continuation of the story in last week's gospel, where Jesus is asked what the most important commandments were. He uses the widow in the gospel as an example of both commandments, loving God with everything, but loving her neighbor as herself, and giving all she has. In this case, we believe it was a day's wages. Let me point out a modern example of this kind of giving. Have you ever done a food drive in front of a grocery store? Have you ever noticed how poor people seem to give more? Perhaps they recognize how close they are to the edge. They do not take what they have for granted. They are grateful givers. Perhaps they know better than the wealthy how dependent we are on each other. Today's readings ask us to give up on the things we lean on, ideas, money, or things. We ask, what will happen if we give up those things we hang on to? What will become of us? God is asking for our all. Can we give it? Can we practice this kind of sacrificial giving? Remember, it doesn't matter the size of the sacrifice. Only that it is sincere and from the heart and in keeping with what St. Paul tells us. If I give away all that I possess, piece by piece, and if I even let them take my body and burn it, but I am without love, it will do me no good, whatever. As we experience the Mass today and the gift of Jesus to us, the Eucharist, as we remember his passion and death, can we follow Jesus' lead? Can we put our complete faith in God, trusting that he will provide for us? He showed us the power he has in what he did through Christ. By overcoming death, he showed us he could overcome whatever problem we have. No matter how insurmountable the problem is, remember, we are God's people, the flock of the Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Amen.